Monster Man, episode 258, Tasloy and Termite, Giant Harvester. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the T chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Our first monsters for today are the Tasloy. Now, maybe it's one Tasloy, two Tasloy. Whenever I see an ending OI, I assume it's plural, so like it's one Taslos, two Tasloy. I don't know that there's an origin for this. I looked, you know, maybe not super in-depth, but it seems to be an original monster here. So the Tasloy are among the... There's a pretty high number of kind of like tropical monsters or like rainforest monsters in Monster Manual 2, another kind of steamy jungle tree dweller. I feel a little bit like the prevalence of jungle monsters in Monster Manual 2 might be a little bit like the number of aquatic monsters in the first Monster Manual. It might represent the content of somebody's home game or something like that, right? That we may be dealing with a trend that's just born out of the needs of individual DMs. I don't know. I mean, that's completely unsupported by any evidence. I'm just saying there's a lot of tropical monsters in Monster Manual 2, and at least based on my research in passing, the Tasloy are not, you know, from a scenario. That could be wrong. Anyway, they're basically kind of tree goblins. They lurk in the trees, they jump down and snare the unsuspecting, and they might carry you off to their tree goblin village to eat you up in a stew. I always think that monsters that capture people are extra good value for money because they essentially lead to a two-part scenario, right? They could capture a PC who would then have to be rescued, or they could capture NPCs that the PCs have to rescue, and I know rescue missions, you know, the secret to running a good fight in Dungeons & Dragons is, or in any role-playing game, is to have clearly defined stakes. You know, if you're just bashing monsters because they're in the way, that's less interesting. It's always much more varied if there are more tactical complications, which can mean a changing environment or which can mean objectives that are slightly different. So if our goal is to just get the blue jewel and get out safely, or, you know, someone run to the button and push it, or rescue the hostages, you know, even monsters who can't really pose a threat to the party can be interesting if they pose a threat to something else that you're trying to protect. Things like that. So the Tasloy are fine, and I think that they're well complemented by Holloway's illustration, which gives them kind of a goggle-eyed, goblin-y appearance that is fun. Next up, we have the Termite, Giant Harvester. I have no idea why these are giant harvester termites as opposed to giant not harvester termites, but anyway, termites are interesting, you know. They're eusocial insects like ants, and they have these different castes, which are described here in the entry. So you got your regular workers, you got your soldiers, and then you got your queens and kings. I feel like giant termites, like giant ants, kind of work because we have these existing associations with termites. And in particular, that we tend to see termites as kind of angrier and more destructive than ants. Ants will ruin your picnic, but termites will destroy your house. So the termite is perceived as a more hostile creature than the ant. Anyway, this is an example of a monster that basically points toward a mini dungeon. So, for example, there's a lot of stuff in here that tells you what you can expect to find in the royal chamber of the termite nest. And I really do think that when you're dealing with termites, you know, the nest is such an important part of that understanding of what the monster is that you don't want to not include it. Now, I don't think that harvesters build those really tall termite mounds, but we can stretch a point here. And if you consider how big these guys are compared to regular termites, then their termite mounds would be absolutely colossal. And that would be kind of fun to go into. Obviously, you don't want to just fight termites over and over again. So I think the best thing to do is either have a termite nest that goes down and, like, has breached the structure of an existing dungeon so that, like, you're in a dungeon and you see that part of the wall has collapsed and that's where the termites are coming through and you have to figure out a way to get past there or just, like, bash your way through a bunch of giant harvester termites. Excuse me, termites, giant harvester. Or alternatively, maybe that's the way that you can get into the dungeon. Like, the ancient tomb of Xurgathrax has been sealed for millennia, but the industrious termites have burrowed their way through the walls. And then you'd have to come down and, you know, make your way through the termite hive to get into the dungeon proper. I think these are an example of those monsters that are maybe a bit more of an environmental hazard monster than like a monster monster, but I think they still work pretty well. It also says that they're the enemies of Formians, so if you have some trouble with some Formians, you could maybe like induce the giant termites to attack them, particularly because the warriors are a little bit more intelligent than everyone else. They're described as semi-intelligent, and you know, you maybe not necessarily going to have a very deep conversation with them, but you might be able to persuade them to, not to help you out, but to attack something that they already regard as an enemy. It'd also be fun to have these as in a wilder landscape. And I don't know, I may be thinking about Dark Sun just because we've got the Thrycreen coming up in a couple of episodes, maybe next episode. But it would definitely be cool to have like a druid for a more kind of arid environment who had, you know, giant termites as his woodland friends rather than wolves and stags and whatever. I mean, not woodland, but you know what I mean. A bug druid would be a pretty fun character, and I don't think it has to be, like, a bug person. You could just have a guy who's like, yeah, you know, I control giant cockroaches. That's what is around here. I am a druid. I'm in touch with nature, whatever that nature might be. Or you could have a villain who have them. I mean, I think that we tend to see hive insects as representing, like, the hive-like qualities of human society. So ants and bees and termites kind of stand in for, you know, industry and organization, both in its positive and negative senses. So there are lots of places that have beehives as their image, like as their icon. So bees are a symbol of Manchester, for example, and of Utah. And I always assume, I have no idea why that is for Manchester, but I assume it's like it's a hive of industry. Like bees are hardworking. At the same time, we don't quite like them. We think of them as places where there is no individuality, no freedom. So the termite kind of works like this, except that I feel like that space is already taken by the ant. And, for that matter, by things like the Formian. So, this monster functions better as a kind of weird encounter. I definitely like the idea of, you know, seeing these spires in the distance and being like, ah, towers, we're saved. At last, our journey through this terrible desert is over. As you get closer, you're like, oh, they look, they're not made by humans. What are they? Oh, they're giant termite mounts. And here come the giant termites. I think that's got some potential. I mean, don't think these guys are going to be a main campaign antagonist, but as a utility monster, this seems like an episode for utility monsters, because that's what the Tazloy are, right? The Tazloy are ham and eggers. They're never going to be the stars of the show, but when you're bored of fighting goblins, but you need to fight some low-level goons, the Tazloy will do just fine. And I feel like the giant termites take some of the things that are successful about the giant ant, but there's a little bit more refreshing. They got a few different abilities. Termite mounds are a fun landscape, and they got that king and queen structure at the royal chamber. Like, they're not showstoppers, but they're satisfying utility monsters. Okay, so that's about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we're going to be continuing our journey through the T chapter of Monster Manual 2 here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.